Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice being on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. Record and listen. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Uh-oh.
Hello?
We have Darth Vader.
I'm going to turn that Darth Vader off and try to bring someone else on. Hopefully they can fix it. Here we go.
Yeah, they can call back in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Surprised to get on. This is Carol from Port Townsend. And,
Hello, Carol.
Hi. Hi again. What I've been looking at about practice is resistance. And it's really interesting because when we started out and I found out the topic was practice, it was like, oh, yeah, that's really good. And then I did a bunch of assignments and then I stopped. And this morning I got up early and I've been catching up. So
good for you.
I really appreciate the radio show because it was about maybe 4 or 5 days ago that Ashwini was saying, well, just record for 2 minutes in the evening and 2 minutes in the morning. And I thought, I can do that. So that kind of got me back on track because Eagle's saying practice is really hard. It's a drag, you know. You practice and then get on with your life. So, and I also knew that coming to hear you and Ashwini speak in Seattle, if I came in resistance mode, I wouldn't be able to hear what you had to say. And so just by starting to do that in the evening and a little bit in the morning, it's like I got back on board. And then about the year-long retreat is, I want to spend that money. I want to go to Mexico. I'm not going to go to the retreat, blah, blah, blah. And then it just became very apparent that that I really want to go to the New Year's retreat. So I signed up. So I'm really happy.
Yeah, the doors open, the lights come on. There's fresh air everywhere, right?
I know. And the other thing was after I got back from travels, I was quite sick for like 10 days. And I was just fighting it. I didn't want it to be happening. So I was resisting it. And once I saw that and I gave up resisting that and I gave up my 100% resistance to practice, then I was happy again.
Yes. And Carol, the again is a really important piece of that, because that's how, if we start watching those undulations, right, I'm happy, and then I start listening to that voice of resistance. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Pretty soon the happiness is gone, okay? Then the conversation starts in with, well, what would make me happy? Okay, well, I want to go to Mexico. That'll make me happy. And there's just that little glimmer there that says, well, actually, maybe being present is what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Right.
And that's the return then, because you start out happy. You know, you're excited about the year-long retreat. You're excited about this. You're excited. And then you watch that excitement and happiness get drained away. And then seeing that you also get brought back. And that's a really significant piece of it to see, right? Because you don't just stay in resistance, right?
I get back. And one of the part of that is dropping the standards. You know, I think if I call in, I got to be a good practitioner and let you all know how with it I am and how aware I am of everything, which is kind of bizarre because actually I am. I spent a lot of time in awareness about what's going on, if I'm identified or not identified and how to move and how to switch my attention. So, but it's like I have something to prove. And so I don't even want to call it. No, because that's an uncomfortable, suffering place, I guess.
Well, yes. Except for ego, who uses that to maintain control of you. Right? No, don't call him because you're not meeting the standard. And so when mm-hmm. we fall for that, we don't stop and do what you just did, which is, well, without the standards, then I realize, well, I am practicing. I am here. I am paying attention. Mm-hmm. I do know how to direct the attention. That's
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that letting go. That idea of being a good practitioner, you know, and impressing everyone with how good I am, that I see how that has impeded a lot of things. So dropping that is, then practice is fun again.
That's right. And we can see that that's just for ego. That is just ego. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to be so good. I'm going to be the best. Everybody's going to know that I mean, how is that not ego? Mm-hmm. Right. So once we see that, we realize, well, that is actually not what I'm going for here. I'm going for presence and kindness and compassion and happiness. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Well, welcome home. Thank you, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. Sherry, that is so fun because to me, so much of our lives are spent in that loop between I don't want to, I don't feel like it, what's wrong with you? Where's my willpower?
You should.
Be willing. I should. And so to just recognize it for the loop that it is and realize that whatever it's holding out underneath that loop, as in Carol's case and most of our cases, I already have to be good at it. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be comfortable. Once we get used to all of the messages of ego in that, then resistance is simply just another process that we can notice and redirect attention from. It doesn't have to influence. I think there's a process by which we get to, okay, there's resistance, and I'm going to do it anyway. And we don't resist the resistance.
Yes, which is the same as I choose unconditional love, or I choose presence, or I choose to be happy. And when we affirm that, when we make that choice, when we, oh, that's resistance, I don't need to go along with that, I know what that is, then everything that is bringing us to presence gets on board, and we can feel how quick the movement is. You know, truly, it's just redirecting the attention, boom, we're here.
Yeah. Well, and it's very relevant to both yesterday's assignment and today's assignment, which is encouraging the practitioner, right, that we redirect the process we're in from resistance to resistance and assessment and judgment of the practitioner to the encouragement, because we want to be in encouragement, not resistance.
Yes. Yeah. So as the old song that nobody can remember, but the line is, find somebody to love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we all have that somebody to love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, here's our next caller, or our first caller. Let's see if we have a better connection.
Hello. Hello, hey. This is Carol in San Francisco.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Oh, okay.
You're not in your Darth Vader disguise?
I stepped out of that dark closet.
Oh, good. Very good.
So what I saw regarding the self-hating voices yesterday, I was in a tremendous amount of judgment, and pretty much everything was aiming at me. The universe was aiming at me. And
big bullseye on you.
Two things. Yeah. But what was interesting is I saw all the statements. I wasn't disidentified, but I was very clear that these statements were coming, the same statements that would always come around people who don't work hard and aren't carrying their load, and the same statements. And I was like powerless over them coming up. But I was like, oh, there it is, you know.
Yeah.
And it was an in-between place.
Well, no. Au contraire, Carol, au contraire. It wasn't an in-between place, because you are exactly right. We have no control about that stuff coming up. We don't. And you were in exactly the place you want to be in, okay, which is seeing it come up, recognizing it for what it is, and then the next step that we can take is probably the next one you took, which is to the best of your ability, redirecting the attention.
Yeah, I like that, to the best of your ability. And then there's no standard on it, you know. And
that's right. That's right. Because it's meant to throw us into hell. And it has been able to do that to most of us for a really long time, right? And so it's going to be there. It's going to keep being there, just circling around, because maybe there will be a weak moment and it'll be able to come in and get you. It sounds like yesterday was one of those, right? There was a vulnerability, right? And so there it was, just coming in for the kill. And you could see it happening. You could watch it happening. You could recognize it for what it is, which is huge. You realize that's just judgment. That's just hatefulness. That's not me, right? I can't stop it from coming at me, but I know it's not me. And now I'm just going to practice in this place, redirecting the attention. And the next day, so I'm going to call in to the morning show and get more clarity about it, right?
I guess it's like a gradient, like you really feel attached, but you're still seeing it, you know. So
yes,
I did a lot of recording. I stepped outside a number of times to record, and it was like I had a lot to say and a lot of expressive words, and they were just kept coming. And in this, you know, a lot of what we wouldn't use on the air type words. So
those expletives that are so popular in identification.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, when I got home, I was told, you don't be listening to that recording, you know, don't be listening to that because it's going to be all this ugly stuff that you don't want to see. And you don't, that's just ugly. And I realized I'm not allowed to speak unedited with the right hand, usually. It has to be kind of sugar-coated, and the corners have to be rounded off. And it was a tipping point to actually listen to that recording afterwards. And it was pretty unedited. Well, it was definitely unedited because it was also while I was driving and people were in my way and I yelled things at them and the recorder was going, so I got to hear the whole thing. And I'm like, get out of the way! It was a tipping point to listen to it, though, because there was a person that usually gets hidden. I don't know who that person is usually. But I thought if I was sitting next to them in a car and they were talking, it would be fine. I'd be like, that's great. I know where you are now. But the trick is thinking, oh, I don't want to speak from conditioning, you know, and yet
that's
when
right.
I saw
and
all
so,
that, it was, yeah, it was
well,
different than
so
it was like, no, there's somebody there. There's somebody
that's
authentic
right.
there.
That's right. You could see who suffers with that karma. You could see who that's being done to. So there's a person, there's a person who has that karma, goes to work, has all these standards she has to follow, all these ways that she needs to be. Other people aren't that way. And she is taking the brunt of that, right? Because the same standards that are used against her, she has been trained to use against other people, right? So the same self-hate that beats her up gets turned outward to other people. And that's what you got to see in that, right? And not
so
that
clearly.
And you got to see the difference between the person who's being subjected to that and that vicious system that's doing that to her, right? Mm-hmm. And, Carol, this is – I know you've heard this expression, burning karma away, okay? Mm-hmm. That what we're doing in practice is burning away karma, and that's what you're doing.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting.
That's,
yeah.
It's so exciting, and it's not what I'm told is going on, of course, but then when you put it that way, then I see, well, wow, it's not standing still. This isn't standing still. This is being in motion, you know, in a way. I mean, for lack of a better word. Yeah.
Well, and that repression is a synonym of resistance. So that's what ego wants people to do, is turn awareness practice into self-improvement. So you repress everything that ego says is not the way you should be, which is like putting, this is good for a medical person, putting more and more bandages on an infection.
Right.
And we don't want to do that. Ego is the giant boil of the universe. And trying to keep all that infection inside is just not a happy thing to be doing, which you got to see.
Mm. Yes. Wow. Glad to hear all that.
And one more thing about it, Carol, before I let you go. The difference is you are taking responsibility for this. If you were spewing all of that stuff on your coworkers, then that would just be egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, digging you into a deeper hole, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not doing that. You are taking responsibility for the karma that is attached, the human being we call Carol, and you are cleaning it up. And that's what recording and listening does for us, as you got to see.
Wow. It's a great tool. Oh, man.
It's a phenomenal tool. All right.
It's good for
my
coworkers.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're so welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. The thing that I wanted to pull out of that conversation, which was so important to me, right, Cherry, that that whole place of conditioned mind, which is controlling what it is that you're allowed to look at, so aversion, mm-hmm. right, which is one of the mm-hmm. root causes of mm-hmm. ignorance, and that playing that out in a two-handed recording, if we're not allowed to speak unedited, what really happens is that we're not allowed to listen to a person subject to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate by being told that you can't speak from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yes.
So the content of what that person might be saying comes from their beliefs, their hurt feelings, the egocentricity. But when we listen to that person who's really upset or is angry or whatever else, we can see what they must be subjected to in order to go to those places, right?
Yes.
That's where the compassion comes from. It's not, I'm going to solve your problem or ask you to be different, but I can hear the level of torture that you're being subject to. And mm-hmm. that's where I am moved to, the conscious, compassionate awareness responds from. But if you can't get it out, you can't see it. And that's
right.
Exactly,
and
what conditioning is going for.
That is correct. And when you just laid it out like that, it's easy to see, and we'll use Carol, right? There's the person, the authentic human incarnation who is in that situation. There's the egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate torturing her, right? Because she believes all of this stuff about how she has to be and what's a good person and the right person and all of that. So then she steps outside or gets in the car, and that person is allowed to talk into the recorder. And the person who listens is not any of those people.
Yes.
It is conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yes.
Yeah? Which is what we've been looking for all of our lives.
Yes.
Somebody to say, I see you. I get it. I get what you're going through. You inherently are pristine.
Mm-hmm. And it's fine for you to have this experience, right? Because what ego says is that's not acceptable. And it's only in this movement that we train ourselves with that we can move into the acceptance at some level of the process that we are in that we're transcending or waking up from. That it's okay,
yes.
It's part of it.
Yes. Oh, in fact, it's sacred, mm-hmm. right? Again, there is one person, according to the Buddha, that we can save. Mm-hmm. It is a sacred duty to do everything we can to save that human being. And the way Carol laid it out is exactly the way to do it. Mm-hmm. We have a process for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're lucky about that.
You know, one other quick thing, because we had a Carol before the Carol. And without going into all of the steps of it, our first Carol did exactly the same process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Just without going through each of the, and then I was feeling this, and so I recorded that. And but it's the exact same disidentification and bringing conscious, compassionate awareness to a human being who is struggling and suffering and the freedom that results.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Now. All right. Who do we have?
Now we have our next caller.
All right.
Hello, this is Lisa from New Hampshire.
Hello.
Hi.
What do you see?
It's wonderful to be on. Well, what I'm seeing is that I'm loving this conversation so far because it really reflects exactly what I'm looking at. What came out for me, especially during this particular practice focus, is this sense of all the ways in which I use practice to make sure that I'm feeling and being the right way and having the right experience.
Uh-huh.
And
Liesl, if we were to reframe
that,
we could say you're seeing how ego uses practice against you.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you for that reframing. Very important. Very important. So what my kind of behavior change and practice has been, there's one particular sensation that ego really uses, this particular sensation in my stomach that it really uses to make me feel like I'm the wrong person, doing the wrong thing, doing practice wrong, et cetera. Right. We could go on and on. And that as long as that sensation is present, I'm not getting it right. And so it's been really interesting to look at that and really get that that's sort of the crux of ego's control of me. And so my behavior change is when I have that sensation, instead of thinking about the ways in which I need to make it go away, or where do I need to find the right recording or the right breathing technique or the right whatever to make it go away, instead to embrace it as part of my present moment experience.
Good for you. And good for you. That is the way, that is the way through, right? And in the embracing it, I think, but I'm just going to say it, just in case anybody else doesn't understand the technique that we're talking about here. Instead of, okay, I accept this, it's there, that's how it is, I'm going to kind of gut it through, right? Going to accept it, but I'm certainly not going to be present for it, right? I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to go into it. And what you're going to do, I project, is
yes.
actually to just stop what you're doing, sit down, and be completely with it. Turn all of your attention to it, give it everything you've got, and see the truth of what's going on and the lie that ego has kept you in.
Right.
There's nothing about that sensation that means you're the wrong person. Nothing. It's a sensation in your body, right? Those two don't have anything
right.
to do with each other. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And I've been making some really supportive recordings from the mentor about how to stay with that and how to stay with that sensation with support, right? Not like I'm going to send you into it by yourself, you know, and you've got to kind of survive and who knows what it means. So that's been really beautiful. And then yesterday I had this like moment of grace that I was recording and listening, and it was like, you know, I was recognizing this attachment I have to trying to figure out what it means. What does that sensation mean? What does it mean? Yeah. What does it mean? And what happened was I heard this voice say, what if it just means that you're loved?
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
What if it means that you're alive? What if it's your best opportunity to not forget yourself, but to come back and really be with yourself in unconditional love and acceptance? What if that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if that?
Because the truth is, the fact of the matter is, as far as I can see the facts, it doesn't mean anything.
Right,
it's
right.
A meaning got attached to it, right? So that's anxiety, that's fear,
right.
And the only thing holding it in place is the belief that that's what it is and that's what it means. And so why not make it mean, I am so loved, I am the most beloved of all creatures. And then we can share that, right? Because you don't have to be the only most beloved creatures.
Right.
No, you can you can share that with all the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah. So here I am. I'm calling in to share it with all of you.
That's exactly right.
That's
Thank you, beloved.
Thank you, beloved. What a gift this practice is to each of us.
The truth,
and all of us. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you so much, Ashwini. Go happy, indeed.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Sherry, we're going to try to squeeze in one more caller.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Well, they went away from the queue, Sherry, so let me try another person. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary calling from New York.
Hello, Mary.
Hi. The other caller brought up an issue that I've been experiencing in the past couple of weeks is anytime I hear something stressful, I automatically, my stomach tightens and I have to go to the bathroom. And I don't... You know, I'm aware of that when I hear something negative, it's doing that to me, but I don't know how to get out of it.
Okay. Do you have a recording and listening practice, Mary?
Yes.
Okay. So that's going to be your best support. And the thing that's going to be, I project, the hardest is that it's likely not to happen immediately. So when we've got something like that going on, that where ego really has an ability to twist us up in a way that is extremely difficult and unpleasant, it's like having a panic attack, right?
Yes, it is. But it's more, similar.
Yeah, yeah. So people have panic attacks because conditioning is terrifying them that they're going to have a panic attack, and so they do. And so conditioning is able to terrify you that there's going to be something negative. You're going to get stressed. You're going to have to go to the bathroom. How is this going to work at work in a meeting where in New York you are, but I'll just say on the subway. This is not a happy thing. And so just to let her know, and it's in that relationship that we were talking about a little bit ago, right, that the mentor is going to be there with you, with her, talking to you in a I'm here with you. It's okay. We're going to get through this. It doesn't need to be this way. This is just karma. Yes, it's a misery, and we can get through this. I'm going to be with you. Okay, so that's one piece of it. The other piece of it that you can be working on is the stress aspect of it. So in the way Lisa was just talking about, what happens in your body with that, in quotes, negativity. And so you're talking with the mentor about how to relax the body, how to keep the attention on relaxing the body instead of getting caught up in upsetting conversations in the head. Okay, so it's a you're going to be spending a lot of time with her, helping her to relax, to drop those stories once they get started in the head. What you're going to do, Mary, ultimately, is train your attention not to look for things that are upsetting. And that's what ego does, not just to you. It's doing it to everybody. It's looking for what's wrong and what's not enough constantly, because that's what will get the story started. So that's my best encouragement for you, and really to stay close with practice. Okay, just immerse yourself in conversations that are not those upsetting, stressful triggers.
Well, the problem is with those conversations are coming from outside, but definitely inside as well.
That's right. And the only reason that they're landing from outside is because they exist inside. When they no longer exist inside, it won't matter actually to you what anybody else says.
Okay.
It's that we karmically are able to pick out people who will do to us what's happening inside us. It's like a, you know, it's kind of a homing device, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as that's resolved in you, those people will stop being so prevalent in your life, and what they're doing will not have the same impact on you.
Great.
All right. So
keep
me posted, okay? Now this,
I will.
This is gonna end. This particular lunch with you is going to end shortly, but we're still on open air on Tuesday evening. So you know, give us a call and keep.
I tried to call in, but I wasn't able. I don't know. I wasn't able to figure out how to do it. But I guess I need to work.
Send
on
an
that
email, Mary. Send an email and get assistance.
Okay.
Ashwini, where should you send an email? Open Air?
Yes, Open Air. Open Air has an email link, and we'll see if we can get you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. All right. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks.
Take care of
Bye.
Yourself.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Bye.
Mary.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And, Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, and our assignment for today is very, very appropriate to every single caller, and it is, do your daily practice. Cultivate an attitude that encourages and supports the practitioner. Throughout the day, each time you hear a negative message, turn attention to encouragement. Pick up the recorder to offer an encouraging message to the practitioner.
Beautiful. It's what we want to be doing. And, you know, Carol was our poster child for that. You know, wherever you are, step outside. There's always a bathroom. There's always a way to be able to be in that relationship regardless of circumstances. So
yeah.
Here we go. Okay. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Talk to everybody
tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Be happy.